Verse 2. Wisdom as a knife. 11. Sisters, suppose a skilled butcher or his apprentice were to kill a cow and carve it up with a sharp butcher's knife, without damaging the inner mass of flesh and without damaging the outer hide. He would cut, sever, and carve away the inner tendons, sinews, and ligaments with the sharp butcher's knife. Then, having cut, severed, and carved all this away, he would remove the outer hide and cover the cow again with that same hide. Would he be speaking rightly if he were to say, "This cow is joined to this hide, just as it was before"? "No, venerable sir. Why is that?" "Because if that skilled butcher or his apprentice were to kill a cow and cut, sever, and carve all that away, even though he covers the cow again with that same hide and says, 'This cow is joined to this hide just as it was before,' that cow would still be disjoined from that hide." 12. Sisters, I have given this simile in order to convey a meaning. This is the meaning. The inner mass of flesh is a term for the six internal bases. The outer hide is a term for the six external bases. The inner tendons, sinews, and ligaments is a term for delight and lust. The sharp butcher's knife is a term for noble wisdom. The noble wisdom that cuts, severs, and carves away the inner defilements, fetters, and bonds. From Majjhima Nikaya, 146. Nanda Kovada Sutta, 3, 274 through 275. Part 2. The Conditions for Wisdom. There are, O monks, these eight causes and conditions for obtaining the wisdom fundamental to the spiritual life when it has not been obtained, and for bringing about the increase, maturation, and fulfillment by development of the wisdom that has already been obtained. What eight? 1. Here, a monk lives in dependence on the teacher or on a certain fellow monk in the position of a teacher, and he has set up toward him a keen sense of shame and moral dread, and regards him with affection and respect. This is the first cause and condition for obtaining the wisdom fundamental to the spiritual life. 2. As he is living in dependence upon such teachers, he approaches them from time to time and inquires, "How is this, venerable sir? What is the meaning of this?" Those venerable ones then disclose to him what has not been disclosed, clear up what is obscure, and dispel his perplexity about many perplexing points. This is the second cause and condition for obtaining the wisdom fundamental to the spiritual life. 3. Having learned the Dhamma, he dwells withdrawn by way of two kinds of withdrawal: withdrawal of body and withdrawal of mind. This is the third cause and condition for obtaining the wisdom fundamental to the spiritual life. 4. He is virtuous, restrained by the restraint of the Patimokkha, perfect in conduct and resort, seeing danger in the slightest faults. Having undertaken the training rules, he trains himself in them. This is the fourth cause and condition for obtaining the wisdom fundamental to the spiritual life. 5. He has learned much, remembers what he has learned, and consolidates what he has learned. Such teachings that are good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end, with the right meaning and phrasing, and which affirm a spiritual life that is perfectly complete and pure, such teachings as these he has learned much of, memorized, recited verbally, investigated with the mind, and penetrated well by view. This is the fifth cause and condition for obtaining the wisdom fundamental to the spiritual life. 6. He is energetic. He lives with energy, set upon the abandoning of everything unwholesome and the acquiring of everything wholesome. He is steadfast and strong in his effort, not shirking his task in regard to wholesome qualities. This is the sixth cause and condition for obtaining the wisdom fundamental to the spiritual life. 7. When he is in the midst of the Sangha, he does not engage in rambling and pointless talk. Either he himself speaks on the Dhamma, or he requests others to do so, or he does not shun noble silence. This is the seventh cause and condition for obtaining the wisdom fundamental to the spiritual life. 8. He dwells contemplating rise and fall in the five aggregates subject to clinging thus. Such is form, such its arising, such its passing away, such is feeling, such is perception, such are volitional formations, such is consciousness, such its arising, such its passing away. This is the eighth cause and condition for obtaining the wisdom fundamental to the spiritual life. For these eight reasons, his fellow monks esteem him as one who truly knows and sees, and these qualities lead to affection, esteem, concord, and unity. These monks are the eight causes and conditions for obtaining the wisdom fundamental to the spiritual life when it has not been obtained, and for bringing about the increased maturation and fulfillment by development of the wisdom that has already been obtained. Anguttara Nikaya 8.2 Abridged 4. 151 through 155. Part 3. A Discourse on Right View. 1. Thus have I heard. On one occasion, the Blessed One was living at Savatthi in Jeta's Grove, Anathapindika's Park. There, the Venerable Sariputta addressed the monks thus. Friends, monks, friend, they replied. The Venerable Sariputta said this. 2. One of right view, is said, friends. In what way is a noble disciple one of right view, whose view is straight? Who has confirmed confidence in the Dhamma and has arrived at this true Dhamma? Indeed, friend, we would come from far away to learn from the Venerable Sariputta the meaning of this statement. It would be good if the Venerable Sariputta would explain the meaning of this statement. Having heard it from him, the monks will remember it. Then, friends, listen and attend closely to what I shall say. Yes, friend, the monks replied. The Venerable Sariputta said this. The wholesome and the unwholesome. 3. When, friends, a noble disciple understands the unwholesome and the root of the unwholesome, the wholesome and the root of the wholesome, in that way he is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has confirmed confidence in the Dhamma and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 4. And what, friends, is the unwholesome? What is the root of the unwholesome? What is the wholesome? What is the root of the wholesome? The destruction of life is unwholesome. Taking what is not given is unwholesome. Sexual misconduct is unwholesome. False speech is unwholesome. Malicious speech is unwholesome. Harsh speech is unwholesome. Idle chatter is unwholesome. Covetousness is unwholesome. Ill will is unwholesome. Wrong view is unwholesome. This is called the unwholesome. 5. And what is the root of the unwholesome? Greed is a root of the unwholesome. Hatred is a root of the unwholesome. Delusion is a root of the unwholesome. This is called the root of the unwholesome. 6. And what is the wholesome? Abstention from destruction of life is wholesome. Abstention from taking what is not given is wholesome. Abstention from sexual misconduct is wholesome. Abstention from false speech is wholesome. Abstention from malicious speech is wholesome. Abstention from harsh speech is wholesome. Abstention from idle chatter is wholesome. Uncovetousness is wholesome. Non-ill will is wholesome. Right view is wholesome. This is called the wholesome. 7. And what is the root of the wholesome? Non-greed is a root of the wholesome. Non-hatred is a root of the wholesome. Non-delusion is a root of the wholesome. This is called the root of the wholesome. 8. When a noble disciple has thus understood the unwholesome and the root of the unwholesome, the wholesome and the root of the wholesome, he entirely abandons the underlying tendency to lust. He abolishes the underlying tendency to aversion. He extirpates the underlying tendency to the view and conceit, I am, and by abandoning ignorance and arousing true knowledge, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has confirmed confidence in the Dhamma, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Nutriment. 9. Saying, "Good friend," the monks delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. "But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma?" "There might be, friends." 10. When, friends, a noble disciple understands nutriment, the origin of nutriment, the cessation of nutriment, and the way leading to the cessation of nutriment, in that way he is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 11. And what is nutriment? What is the origin of nutriment? What is the cessation of nutriment? What is the way leading to the cessation of nutriment? There are four kinds of nutriment for the sustenance of beings that already have come to be and for the support of those about to come to be. What for? They are physical food as nutriment, gross or subtle, contact as the second, mental volition as the third, and consciousness as the fourth. With the arising of craving, there is the arising of nutriment. With the cessation of craving, there is the cessation of nutriment. The way leading to the cessation of nutriment is just this noble eightfold path, that is, right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. 12. When a noble disciple has thus understood nutriment, the origin of nutriment, the cessation of nutriment, and the way leading to the cessation of nutriment, he entirely abandons the underlying tendency to lust. He here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has confirmed confidence in the Dhamma, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. The Four Noble Truths. 13. Saying, "Good friend," the monks delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. "But, friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma?" "There might be, friends." 14. When, friends, a noble disciple understands suffering, the origin of suffering, the cessation of suffering, and the way leading to the cessation of suffering, in that way he is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 15. And what is suffering? What is the origin of suffering? What is the cessation of suffering? What is the way leading to the cessation of suffering? Birth is suffering. Aging is suffering. Illness is suffering. Death is suffering. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection, and despair are suffering. Not to get what one wants is suffering. In brief, the five aggregates subject to clinging are suffering. This is called suffering. 16. And what is the origin of suffering? It is this craving that leads to renewed existence, accompanied by delight and lust, seeking delight here and there, that is, craving for sensual pleasures, craving for existence, craving for extermination. This is called the origin of suffering. 17. And what is the cessation of suffering? It is the remainderless fading away and cessation of that same craving, the giving up and relinquishing of it, freedom from it, non-attachment. 18. And what is the way leading to the cessation of suffering? It is just this noble eightfold path, that is, right view, right concentration. This is called the way leading to the cessation of suffering. 19. When a noble disciple has thus understood suffering, the origin of suffering, the cessation of suffering, and the way leading to the cessation of suffering, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Aging and death. 20. Saying, "Good friend," the monks delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. "But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma?" "There might be, friends." 21. When, friends, a noble disciple understands aging and death, the origin of aging and death, the cessation of aging and death, and the way leading to the cessation of aging and death. In that way he is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 22. And what is aging and death? What is the origin of aging and death? What is the cessation of aging and death? What is the way leading to the cessation of aging and death? The aging of beings and the various orders of beings, their old age, brokenness of teeth, grayness of hair, wrinkling of skin, decline of life, weakness of faculties, this is called aging. The passing of beings out of the various orders of beings, their passing away, breakup, disappearance, dying, completion of time, the breakup of the aggregates, laying down of the body, this is called death. So this aging and this death are what is called aging and death. With the arising of birth, there is the arising of aging and death. With the cessation of birth, there is the cessation of aging and death. The way leading to the cessation of aging and death is just this noble eightfold path, that is, right view, right concentration. 23. When a noble disciple has thus understood aging and death, the origin of aging and death, the cessation of aging and death, and the way leading to the cessation of aging and death, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Birth. 24. Saying, "Good friend," the monks delighted and rejoiced in the venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. "But, friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma?" "There might be, friends." 25. When, friends, a noble disciple understands birth, the origin of birth, the cessation of birth, and the way leading to the cessation of birth, in that way he is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 26. And what is birth? What is the origin of birth? What is the cessation of birth? What is the way leading to the cessation of birth? The birth of beings in the various orders of beings, their coming to birth, precipitation in a womb, generation, manifestation of the aggregates, obtaining the basis for contact, this is called birth. With the arising of existence, there is the arising of birth. With the cessation of existence, there is the cessation of birth. The way leading to the cessation of birth is just this noble eightfold path, that is, right view, right concentration. 27. When a noble disciple has thus understood birth, the origin of birth, the cessation of birth, and the way leading to the cessation of birth, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Existence. 28. Saying, "Good friend," the monks delighted and rejoiced in the venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. "But, friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma?" "There might be, friends." 29. When, friends, a noble disciple understands existence, the origin of existence, the cessation of existence, and the way leading to the cessation of existence, in that way he is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 30. And what is existence? What is the origin of existence? What is the cessation of existence? What is the way leading to the cessation of existence? There are these three kinds of existence: sense sphere existence, form sphere existence, and formless sphere existence. With the arising of clinging, there is the arising of existence. With the cessation of clinging, there is the cessation of existence. The way leading to the cessation of existence is just this noble eightfold path, that is, right view, right concentration. 31. When a noble disciple has thus understood existence, the origin of existence, the cessation of existence, and the way leading to the cessation of existence, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Clinging. 32. Saying, "Good friend," the monks delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. "But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma?" "There might be, friends." 33. When, friends, a noble disciple understands clinging, the origin of clinging, the cessation of clinging, and the way leading to the cessation of clinging, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 34. And what is clinging? What is the origin of clinging? What is the cessation of clinging? What is the way leading to the cessation of clinging? There are these four kinds of clinging: clinging to sensual pleasures, clinging to views, clinging to rules and observances, and clinging to a doctrine of self. With the arising of craving, there is the arising of clinging. With the cessation of craving, there is the cessation of clinging. The way leading to the cessation of clinging is just this noble eightfold path. That is, right view, right concentration. 35. When a noble disciple has thus understood clinging, the origin of clinging, the cessation of clinging, and the way leading to the cessation of clinging, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Craving. 36. Saying, "Good friend," the monks delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. "But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma?" "There might be, friends." 37. When, friends, a noble disciple understands craving, the origin of craving, the cessation of craving, and the way leading to the cessation of craving, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 38. And what is craving? What is the origin of craving? What is the cessation of craving? What is the way leading to the cessation of craving? There are six classes of craving: craving for forms, craving for sounds, craving for odors, craving for flavors, craving for tactile objects, craving for mental phenomena. With the arising of feeling, there is the arising of craving. With the cessation of feeling, there is the cessation of craving. The way leading to the cessation of craving is just this noble eightfold path. That is, right view, right concentration. 39. When a noble disciple has thus understood craving, the origin of craving, the cessation of craving, and the way leading to the cessation of craving, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Feeling. 40. Saying, "Good friend," the monks delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. "But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma?" "There might be, friends." 41. When, friends, a noble disciple understands feeling, the origin of feeling, the cessation of feeling, and the way leading to the cessation of feeling, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 42. And what is feeling? What is the origin of feeling? What is the cessation of feeling? What is the way leading to the cessation of feeling? There are these six classes of feeling: feeling born of eye contact, feeling born of ear contact, feeling born of nose contact, feeling born of tongue contact, feeling born of body contact, feeling born of mind contact. With the arising of contact, there is the arising of feeling. With the cessation of contact, there is the cessation of feeling. The way leading to the cessation of feeling is just this noble eightfold path. That is, right view, right concentration. 43. When a noble disciple has thus understood feeling, the origin of feeling, the cessation of feeling, and the way leading to the cessation of feeling, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Contact. 44. Saying, "Good friend," the monks delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. "But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma?" "There might be, friends." 45. When, friends, a noble disciple understands contact, the origin of contact, the cessation of contact, and the way leading to the cessation of contact, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 46. And what is contact? What is the origin of contact? What is the cessation of contact? What is the way leading to the cessation of contact? There are these six classes of contact: eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, mind contact. With the arising of the six sense bases, there is the arising of contact. With the cessation of the six sense bases, there is the cessation of contact. The way leading to the cessation of contact is just this noble eightfold path, that is, right view, right concentration. 47. When a noble disciple has thus understood contact, the origin of contact, the cessation of contact, and the way leading to the cessation of contact, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. The six sense bases. 48. Saying, "Good friend," the monks delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. "But, friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma?" "There might be, friends." 49. When, friends, a noble disciple understands the six sense bases, the origin of the six sense bases, the cessation of the six sense bases, and the way leading to the cessation of the six sense bases, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 50. And what are the six sense bases? What is the origin of the six sense bases? What is the cessation of the six sense bases? What is the way leading to the cessation of the six sense bases? There are these six sense bases: the eye base, the ear base, the nose base, the tongue base, the body base, the mind base. With the arising of name and form, there is the arising of the six sense bases. The way leading to the cessation of the six sense bases is just this noble eightfold path, that is, right view, right concentration. 51. When a noble disciple has thus understood the six sense bases, the origin of the six sense bases, the cessation of the six sense bases, and the way leading to the cessation of the six sense bases, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Name and form. 52. Saying, "Good friend," the monks delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. "But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma?" "There might be, friends." 53. When, friends, a noble disciple understands name and form, the origin of name and form, the cessation of name and form, and the way leading to the cessation of name and form, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 54. And what is name and form? What is the origin of name and form? What is the cessation of name and form? What is the way leading to the cessation of name and form? Feeling, perception, volition, contact, and attention. These are called name. The four great elements and the form derived from the four great elements. These are called form. So this name and this form are what is called name and form. With the arising of consciousness, there is the arising of name and form. With the cessation of consciousness, there is the cessation of name and form. The way leading to the cessation of name and form is just this noble eightfold path. That is, right view, right concentration. 55. When a noble disciple has thus understood name and form, the origin of name and form, the cessation of name and form, and the way leading to the cessation of name and form, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Consciousness. 56. Saying, good friend, the monks delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But, friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. 57. When, friends, a noble disciple understands consciousness, the origin of consciousness, the cessation of consciousness, and the way leading to the cessation of consciousness, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 58. And what is consciousness? What is the origin of consciousness? What is the cessation of consciousness? What is the way leading to the cessation of consciousness? There are these six classes of consciousness: eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, mind consciousness. With the arising of volitional formations, there is the arising of consciousness. With the cessation of volitional formations, there is the cessation of consciousness. The way leading to the cessation of consciousness is just this noble eightfold path. That is, right view, right concentration. 59. When a noble disciple has thus understood consciousness, the origin of consciousness, the cessation of consciousness, and the way leading to the cessation of consciousness, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Volitional formations. 60. Saying, good friend, the monks delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. 61. When, friends, a noble disciple understands volitional formations, the origin of volitional formations, the cessation of volitional formations, and the way leading to the cessation of volitional formations, in that way he is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 62. And what are volitional formations? What is the origin of volitional formations? What is the cessation of volitional formations? What is the way leading to the cessation of volitional formations? There are these three kinds of volitional formations: the bodily volitional formation, the verbal volitional formation, the mental volitional formation. With the arising of ignorance, there is the arising of volitional formations. With the cessation of ignorance, there is the cessation of volitional formations. The way leading to the cessation of volitional formations is just this noble eightfold path. That is, right view, right concentration. 63. When a noble disciple has thus understood volitional formations, the origin of volitional formations, the cessation of volitional formations, and the way leading to the cessation of volitional formations, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Ignorance. 64. Saying, good friend, the monks delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. 65. When, friends, a noble disciple understands ignorance, the origin of ignorance, the cessation of ignorance, and the way leading to the cessation of ignorance. In that way he is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 66. And what is ignorance? What is the origin of ignorance? What is the cessation of ignorance? What is the way leading to the cessation of ignorance? Not knowing about suffering, not knowing about the origin of suffering, not knowing about the cessation of suffering, not knowing about the way leading to the cessation of suffering. This is called ignorance. With the arising of the taints, there is the arising of ignorance. With the cessation of the taints, there is the cessation of ignorance. The way leading to the cessation of ignorance is just this Noble Eightfold Path. That is, right view, right concentration. 67. When a noble disciple has thus understood ignorance, the origin of ignorance, the cessation of ignorance, and the way leading to the cessation of ignorance, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. Taints. 68. Saying, good friend, the monks delighted and rejoiced in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Then they asked him a further question. But friend, might there be another way in which a noble disciple is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has confirmed confidence in the Dhamma, and has arrived at this true Dhamma? There might be, friends. 69. When, friends, a noble disciple understands the taints, the origin of the taints, the cessation of the taints, and the way leading to the cessation of the taints, in that way he is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has confirmed confidence in the Dhamma, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. 70. And what are the taints? What is the origin of the taints? What is the cessation of the taints? What is the way leading to the cessation of the taints? There are these three taints: the taint of sensual desire, the taint of existence, and the taint of ignorance. With the arising of ignorance, there is the arising of the taints. With the cessation of ignorance, there is the cessation of the taints. The way leading to the cessation of the taints is just this Noble Eightfold Path. That is, right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. 71. When a noble disciple has thus understood the taints, the origin of the taints, the cessation of the taints, and the way leading to the cessation of the taints, he entirely abandons the underlying tendency to lust. He abolishes the underlying tendency to aversion. He extirpates the underlying tendency to the view and conceit, I am. And by abandoning ignorance and arousing true knowledge, he here and now makes an end of suffering. In that way, too, a noble disciple is one of right view, whose view is straight, who has perfect confidence in the Dhamma, and has arrived at this true Dhamma. That is what the Venerable Sariputta said. The monks were satisfied and delighted in the Venerable Sariputta's words. Majjhima Nikaya 9. Samadhitthi Sutta 1. 46-55. Part 4. The Domain of Wisdom. Verse 1. By way of the five aggregates. A. Phases of the aggregates. At Savatthi, the Blessed One said, monks, there are these five aggregates subject to clinging. What five? The form aggregate, subject to clinging. The feeling aggregate, subject to clinging. The perception aggregate, subject to clinging. The volitional formations aggregate, subject to clinging. The consciousness aggregate, subject to clinging. So long as I did not directly know, as they really are, the five aggregates subject to clinging in four phases, I did not claim to have awakened to the unsurpassed perfect enlightenment in this world with its devas, Mara and Brahma, in this population with its ascetics and Brahmins, its devas and humans. But when I directly knew all this as it really is, then I claimed to have awakened to the unsurpassed perfect enlightenment in this world with its devas and humans. And how, monks, are there four phases? I directly knew form, its origin, its cessation, and the way leading to its cessation. I directly knew feeling, perception, volitional formations, consciousness, its origin, its cessation, and the way leading to its cessation. And what, monks, is form? The four great elements and the form derived from the four great elements. This is called form. With the arising of nutriment, there is the arising of form. With the cessation of nutriment, there is the cessation of form. This noble eightfold path is the way leading to the cessation of form. That is, right view, right concentration. Whatever ascetics and Brahmins, having thus directly known form, its origin, its cessation, and the way leading to its cessation, are practicing for the purpose of disenchantment with form, for its fading away and cessation, they are practicing well. Those who are practicing well have gained a foothold in this Dhamma and disciple. And whatever ascetics and Brahmins, having thus directly known form, its origin, its cessation, and the way leading to its cessation, through disenchantment with form, through its fading away and cessation, are liberated by non-clinging, they are well liberated. Those who are well liberated are consummate ones, and to those consummate ones there is no round for their manifestation. And what, monks, is feeling? There are these six classes of feeling. Feeling born of eye contact, feeling born of ear contact, feeling born of nose contact, feeling born of tongue contact, feeling born of body contact, feeling born of mind contact. This is called feeling. With the arising of contact, there is the arising of feeling. With the cessation of contact, there is the cessation of feeling. This noble eightfold path is the way leading to the cessation of feeling, that is, right view, right concentration. Whatever ascetics and Brahmins, having thus directly known feeling, its origin, its cessation, and the way leading to its cessation, are practicing for the purpose of disenchantment with feeling, for its fading away and cessation, they are practicing well. Those who are practicing well have gained a foothold in this Dhamma and discipline. And whatever ascetics and Brahmins, having thus directly known feeling, and the way leading to its cessation. As to those consummate ones, there is no round for their manifestation. And what, monks, is perception? There are these six classes of perception: perception of forms, perception of sounds, perception of odors, perception of tastes, perception of tactile objects, perception of mental phenomena. This is called perception. With the arising of contact, there is the arising of perception. With the cessation of contact, there is the cessation of perception. This noble eightfold path is the way leading to the cessation of perception. That is, right view, right concentration. Whatever ascetics and Brahmins, as to those consummate ones, there is no round for their manifestation. And what, monks, are volitional formations? There are these six classes of volition: volition regarding forms, volition regarding sounds, volition regarding odors, volition regarding tastes, volition regarding tactile objects, volition regarding mental phenomena. These are called volitional formations. With the arising of contact, there is the arising of volitional formations. With the cessation of contact, there is the cessation of volitional formations. This noble eightfold path is the way leading to the cessation of volitional formations, that is, right view, right concentration. Whatever ascetics and Brahmins, as to those consummate ones, there is no round for their manifestation. And what, monks, is consciousness? There are these six classes of consciousness: eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, mind consciousness. This is called consciousness. With the arising of name and form, there is the arising of consciousness. With the cessation of name and form, there is the cessation of consciousness. This noble eightfold path is the way leading to the cessation of consciousness, that is, right view, right concentration. Whatever ascetics and Brahmins, having thus directly known consciousness, its origin, its cessation, and the way leading to its cessation, are practicing for the purpose of disenchantment with consciousness, for its fading away and cessation, they are practicing well. Those who are practicing well have gained a foothold in this Dhamma and discipline. And whatever ascetics and Brahmins, having thus directly known consciousness, its origin, its cessation, and the way leading to its cessation, through disenchantment with consciousness, through its fading away and cessation, are liberated by non-clinging, they are well liberated. Those who are well liberated are consummate ones. As to those consummate ones, there is no round for their manifestation. Samyutta Nikaya 22:56, 3, 58 through 61.